Who are you?
You know, that's a great question. My answer, the one I love, is who I am is well-being for human being.
Ooh,
I took a stand a very long time ago. You know, my background is I'm a psychologist by training and executive coach in the last. But early on in my career, very committed to people's well-being. So that's who I am.
I've been excited for this conversation because anytime I have an opportunity to speak to someone who's done something for 40 years, who's lived some life, has some experience and definitely a lot of wisdom to share, I find it's a real gift to be able to have a conversation like this with someone like you. And we had a bit of that in person at a mutual business event. So I'm curious, if you go back to the beginning of your career, we don't have to go in through the whole 40 years, obviously, but how has that who am I question or answer, I should say, evolved over when you started to kind of where you're at now?
It's real simple. If I go even further back, I think I was a pretty typical teenager that had a lot of issues and concerns. I was not a great student. I wasn't a great athlete. I was concerned about what am I going to do with my life? And I went to college hoping to find out. And that didn't work out. So I dropped out of college on two occasions. But one time in California, a friend of mine, by coincidence, was reading a book on psychology by Harris Doc Sullivan. I opened it, and I knew everything in it. I went, wait, you get this book? He says, it's my textbook. I said, you get tested on this instead of, accounting or business classes? And I immediately went back to school, enrolled, and went from being on probation before I left to the dean's list, and then on to graduate school. And, the thing for me was, when you find your path, when you find the place you're supposed to be, the effort is gone. Sure, the effort's not gone. The struggle is gone.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of like a joy to engage and dig in. So
why do you it's so interesting when you said you looked at that textbook and you're like, oh, I know a lot of the stuff in here. Where do you think that was coming from?
That's a good question that I've never been able to answer. It's just, it made sense to me. It was common sense. I mean, there are people who, get on a computer and they look at a keyboard and everything makes sense to them. That's not me. But in the domain of psychology, I sort of understand the way the mind works. And I think it comes from, being ADD and ADHD and not being able to read until fourth grade, et cetera, I became a very good listener. I learned through listening. And I think that translated into some skills that were very helpful in the domain of psychology.
What do you think are some truths that have become obvious now in your 70s that maybe people in their 40s still can't see?
Well, one is, and I name my company Transitions Institute, that transitions are normal. Everybody goes through them. And, people have, quote, midlife challenges, et cetera. And they make it like it's a big deal. They're the only person who's ever had one. And it's not true. We all do. As a matter of fact, we're constantly in transition. And so transitioning is one. in the domain of my work, like you said, we were at a conference together. There were so many of the presenters who made a point of the fact that the quality of our lives has everything to do with our internal dialogue and what we're telling ourselves, whether this is good, bad, I can't, etc. Well, that was something that I tuned into about 40 years ago, and that's the platform that I've been standing on, which is trying to understand the nature of of our internal dialogue, of our consciousness, our awareness, and becoming more aware of how that all plays out. And if we can get our hands around that and understand that if my current reality is a function of the conversation I'm having right now, I should try and figure out what's the structure and the dynamics of the internal conversation so I can be a cause rather than the at the effect.
It does. And I want to dive a little bit deeper on that one. And maybe the question is, especially in today's world where I even hesitate to say today's world because it's not like other decades haven't come with their challenges and so forth. It's just things change, obviously, over the years. But I mean, if I'm speaking of today, it seems really noisy. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of stress.
Yes.
People mentally don't seem to be doing super well, at least in the people that I see. I wonder, like, where do you start? You know, if you have a new client that comes on present day, where do you even start with these people? Or teams?
I start in the same place, which is after we have had this conversation, where do you want to wind up? See, I'm not interested in people's past. Everybody's got a really great story about their past and, trying to unpack that takes time, effort, and it's only a made-up unpacking anyway, because we don't have a clear sense of exactly what happened when we were younger and all the variables. So the question I'm interested in is, where do you want to go? What do you want to have available to you as a function of this conversation? Which, by the way, leads me to the question I was wanting to ask you during this interview, if you don't mind, now might be a good time to ask it.
Sure.
You've had this podcast, some 500 interviews, right?
Correct.
What do you want your listener, your person out there in the audience, what do you want them to get from this hour?
Thank you for asking that. There are a couple things. And something that's been on my mind quite a bit lately, and it's this: it's, I think we need constant reminders of almost like a direction reset or perspective shift and so forth. So for me, and I get this from content and other podcasts and books on a daily basis, my hope is that through a conversation like this with someone like yourself, there are nuggets of information and insight that reminds someone, because I think we don't give ourselves enough credit. We do a lot, especially the people in this audience. They've read a lot of books. They have a lot of practices, but then we forget, or we get, you know, there's so much happening that we forget, or pushes itself out of the mind. So just some good reminders to come back to things that we've already maybe put some work on. And then I would love, kind of like what I mentioned earlier, just to absorb some of the wisdom that you've picked up over the last 40 years being in this field. And, you know, you've seen a lot of things, you've gone through a lot of experiences, and I imagine done a lot of work yourself for your own mind. And I'd love to hear, what we have to know.
Very good. Yeah. Can I jump in and sort of attack that?
Absolutely. making my job easy.
Well, the first thing is the thing about your audience, and that they've done, you know, that they haven't been passive in terms of their own development for the most part. So we want to acknowledge that they've really gained a lot of information, insights, et cetera, practices. People are successful. You know, people who come to me typically are successful. It's not that they're not. It's that they've run into some form of obstruction or some barrier, or they're just interested in accelerating their growth. And, you know, instead of the same old pace of getting better, they want a breakthrough. And the thing that I've, this is the thing about my work that I really want to share, is that we have what I call a psychological paradigm. In other words, we all live from the past into the present on behalf of the future. I'll say that again.
Yes, please.
We have a past. We live in the present on behalf of the future. And what everybody wants is for that future to be better than the present. At least as good as the present, but we certainly would want it to be better if we could do that. The problem is we look to the past for the solution for the future. And the past only gives us enough information to deal with what we're dealing with now. It doesn't necessarily provide us with a new pathway. I'm sure you've heard the same, you know, what got you here ain't going to get you there. You've heard that before, right? And that's absolutely true. So this interview, from my perspective, is really not about me. It's about that. It's about giving people access to their future, direct access to being able to create a future. And, you know, one of the things you mentioned prior to this was, what do I reflect on? What are some of the questions that I reflect on in order to, you know, process my world? And I would say it's not so much questions I reflect on as much as a process and practice. So I do transcendental meditation. And so I meditate twice a day, and I've been doing it forever.
And is that 20 minutes with a mantra?
Yes, twice a day.
Yeah.
And what that does is it allows me to be present to what's occurring in my world, in my head, without judgment, without trying to fix it, without jumping in and going, oh, well, I got to do this or I got to do that. I have a little bit of freedom in terms of noticing if I create that future, if I go that way. So if I'm going to go, you know, to the library instead of to the beach to study, what future do I get from taking that action? So I'm going to get a future from that future. And the future from that future is called better grades. Now, if I go to the beach, I'm going to have that future. And then I'm going to have whatever future comes with that. And it might be socializing or having a good time. And then I stand there and I observe, what's more important to me, the good grades or having another afternoon socializing and having a good time? And I reflect on that, and I hope that steers the decision-making in the present.
What I was going to ask is, so is that, I guess that how that plays out in everyday life is then you, because of the practice of the meditation, boosts your self-awareness and gives you the opportunity or the luxury of having that micro pause almost in real time, right? Of, and because you could apply that logic, of course, to everything, like nutrition that we put in our bodies or junk food, whatever it is, right? It's a decision that leads to a future outcome.
Yeah. Do I do one more thing before I jump in the car for the meeting, which might have me be late, as opposed to 10 minutes early. So it's constant practice. And by the way, I do that whether I'm meditating or not. But the practice, I think, was developed during meditation. But now, I'm always evaluating. So what future does that action bring about? If I go this way, what future does that bring about? And where do I go from there? So
amazing. Give us some other tools, David, around help. I love this idea of breaking the cycle of going back to the past to create the future. Yeah. So, what are some other techniques that have worked really well within your work?
Techniques is one thing. But I think awareness is the starting place. So if I gave you techniques, unfortunately, or if I gave a client techniques, basically they would put it back into their system of operating the psychological paradigm I'm talking about. And that's, you called it forgetting? No. The psychological paradigm is designed to take control over your life. So it's designed to not let you step outside what's familiar and, what's safe, etc. So it's not so much forgetting, it's that it's overpowered by 30, 40, 50 years of practicing another way of looking at things, the old way. So back to your question, and my answer is awareness is the starting place. And I think that the thing I want to share, and if I could, I want the largest microphone platform in the world. Hopefully you have millions of listeners, is for people to really appreciate that. Well, before I say it, can I demonstrate it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Very good. So, you're in your office, you're very comfortable right now. Would you put your hand on top of your head, please? Okay, you can take it off now. Thank you for doing that. So why did you do that?
Well, because you asked me to.
Of course. Now, if I asked you to take every book on the bookshelves and throw them all over the room, would you do that?
Likely not.
Yeah. So you see, it has nothing to do with me asking. You tell yourself what to do moment by moment by moment, every moment of your life. And therefore, this internal conversation that we're listening to has complete domain. It determines what we do. And the beauty of this insight is it's only a conversation, and we can change the conversation. So we can start, quote, telling ourselves, instructing ourselves to have thoughts that are more productive than the ones that we're having. So it starts with awareness. Then you get into the technique part, you see. You got to get to the distinction first. Then you can actually start adding on layers. Oh, well, how does that work? Well, how would you do that? Okay, I now know I have an internal conversation that's determining, not only my actions, but also my feelings, my point of view, my emotions, my mood, whatever that internal conversation is, that's where you go. It's your current reality, moment by moment. So can I, one more awareness piece that supports this whole thing that may be useful to the listener or observer? And that is that right now you are creating this conversation with me. You're having this conversation with me and you're creating me. I'm just a little blimp on a screen over there. you're creating that there really is this guy, David Zelman, someplace out in the universe that you're talking to and having a conversation with, and then maybe there's meaning and so forth. And so that's all a creation on your part. And for your listeners, let's say there's only a million, but if there are a million people out there listening, you know, some are going, this makes sense. Others are nonsense, et cetera, et cetera. So you see, a conversation is both speaking and listening, and the listener creates their own reality based on their internal conversation. So whatever conversation you're having and creating at this moment is, it's important to know that it's a creation. And that's what we have as human beings. We've been blessed with this gift of creativity, this gift of being able to create. And moment by moment by moment, we are creating our universe. And again, it's possible to steer this conversation in a way that it provides for a better access to the future. And
I love that.
Do you want to add one more piece on that? And so with regards to technique, so you can hear when someone's talking to you from the past. Well, I believe all your beliefs are from the past, as opposed to what's possible here. What do we have to gain if we do this or that? Can we stand in an opening for possibility rather than the closure of already knowing? And when you hear people who are so certain and already know what the future is, chances are they're not attending to the vast possibility that really exists. So that's one point.
Okay. I definitely want to talk a little bit more about the openings of possibility. However, I'm going to pause for a second because people are going to message me and say, what's that clicking in the background? And I see that's David holding a pen, and I'm going to ask him to put the pen down. It's down. There we go.
My God. See? That's my past. Click it, David. You'll feel click better.
Exactly. So let's talk about openings of possibility. And because what I want to ask is, I guess, how do we do it? Because what I see is people are so, everything that you've been talking about or mentioning so far is in association to, I think, slowing down to ask different questions, or like you said, you know, create a different future and so forth. You have to have some level of self-awareness, of course, and there are many different tools, meditation definitely one to help. But then I guess what I'm struggling to ask is, like, how do we slow people down enough to even think a little bit differently around possibility versus just almost autopiloting into the next thing, the next task, the next decision?
I think the best answer I can give for that is, again, to recognize the power of distinction. So let me say more about that. Riding a bike. If someone asks, we're having this conversation, and instead of the question you just asked me, you asked me, how do I ride a bike? I would have a great deal of difficulty explaining to you. I could tell you all about, you know, you get on one foot over the other and then you pedal and you hold on to the steering wheel and you got to go forward because if you're not moving, you know, but that won't get you on a bike. But once you get the distinction balance, not only can you ride the bike, but you'll almost never forget how to ride the bike, right?
It's a really good example. Yeah.
So same thing is true with the nature of this internal conversation. We have to get it not like, oh, I got this noise in my head, which is what I call the conversations from the past are noise. They're distractions. They say, I can't, I don't know how, I'm not good enough. Why is it always my fault? Why do I have to provide the solution? Why doesn't she? You know, there's all this noise that does not provide for a future. So if you're listening from the past, typically the whole domain of possibility is corrupted. See,
yes.
Possibility comes from nothing. It's like everything is possible in the domain of the future. So if you have the distinction with regards to the internal conversation that you can personally recognize for yourself, the conversations you're having from the past, the conversations that are present in the present, you know, like the light is turning colors while you're driving your car from green to yellow, and the future. See, there's you can have a conversation now for the future. And let me be clearer about what I'm giving you here. So there are conversations from the past, and they sort of tell you where you are and what's happening. There are conversations for the future, which are a manifestation of your commitments and intentions. And to the extent that you can be someone who lets the past be and just gets deeply engaged in what am I committed to and what are my intentions around that, you just have a different way of listening. You participate in life differently.
But how does that, it's interesting because I feel like I have more conversations or ruminate about the future. That's my, I catch it, but it's definitely the thing that runs the show most often. Like things, if I'm thinking of some of the blockers I have that I've identified around, you know, like, am I doing enough right now and putting enough effort in project A or book B, whatever it is, to, you know, achieve the desired outcome, and, you know, getting stuck there, even though logically I know, you know, it's, you've identified a plan, you know, stay true to just put the effort into those tasks and stay present in that. The mind just keeps looping and looping. Like that's my challenge. I don't find I get stuck in the past that often, but maybe the past is informing these thoughts potentially. But yeah, so where does that fit into the whole the system that you're working with?
You said so much there. I'm not sure what exactly to respond to.
Okay,
can you simplify the question for me so I can?
I guess what I'm trying to get at is where does anxiety play into the whole equation of, because my understanding anxiety is. Very good. Ruminating into the future.
Yeah. Well, if so, you know what? In my world, and if you were in my office and we were having this conversation, yes. And I'm going to help you navigate that, I would say, can we be more specific? Because generalizations really are sort of hooks back to the past. Everybody's going to make an association with that. What association can they make? Only from the past. That's where associations come from. So if I understand that you have anxiety about buying the new car and you have some different variables you're trying to steer through, like cost and electric versus whatever, then we can have a conversation on behalf of, well, what is it that you really want to accomplish, et cetera.
Yeah.
And we could zoom in on what the real variables are that are important to you and come up with an answer. One of the things I do with clients often who come in, and they could be depressed, they could have anxiety, they could have stress, and they say, you know, Dr. Zoma, it's hard to listen to you because I'm so stressed out here. And I said, you know, you made it this far. You made it from your house into the car, into my office. You're sitting here with me. Can you just let go of the stress for 5 minutes, please? I mean, can we just have a conversation without the frame, the context being stress? And they said, well, I don't know. I mean, I could try. And I said, okay, let's try. Let's talk about something, you know, that's not as stressful and just hang out for 5 minutes. 5 minutes later, I check in with him. How you doing? Well, pretty good. I'm not stressful right now. And what I want to point out is that stress is a choice.
Yeah.
Most people don't recognize that they have a choice about their feelings and emotions. They think their emotions and feelings have them, as opposed to they have feelings and emotions. So if you can identify what the source of the anxiety is, or just the fact that you have anxiety, and give yourself permission to shift, not change, but shift conversations, then all of a sudden you will experience that gap we talked about earlier, that freedom, that space to actually create something. Let me do another demonstration here for you. Thank you, by the way, for the opportunity. I'm having a great time.
Thank you.
What am I demonstrating?
Two objects up against, or hitting each other, up against, it's like resistance or force.
Very close. Very good. Two objects cannot occupy the same space at the same time. Mm. Same thing is true for conversations. If you have a powerful conversation regarding partnership, or commitment on behalf of the future, or possibility, then the ones that are keeping you back and from the past, they can't be there.
Yeah.
One pushes the other away. Now, I promise the conversation from the past will come back at you. And so this is not a one-time thing. You have to really be committed to your commitment to generate a set of conversations, create a set of conversations that give you access to a future, and I'm going to make it a little bit more complicated, not only to give you tangible outcomes, but also intangible, like a sense of accomplishment, a sense of success, of partnership, of love, of this is meaningful work that I'm doing. If you're not creating those conversations, they're most likely not going to be sufficient to hang around.
Yeah. Well, and the latter, I guess I would argue, is probably the most important, because if you can create that sense or feeling of progress and accomplishment and love and so forth, then you're also not limiting yourself to one, you know, tangible outcome. It actually could be much greater and something you can't even imagine, right?
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. You're opening yourself up in a sense, right?
Yeah. I really like the micro kind of practice of, I mean, you said, can we just have a conversation for 5 minutes without stress? But I imagine the person, myself included, on the other side, you know, you're working on something and having that exact conversation with ourselves saying, you know what, how about for the next 20 minutes, we're not doing anxiety, stress, or ruminating in the past or future. We're just here right now doing what we said we wanted to do, and we're going to enjoy that experience. And I feel like that feels attainable.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. It's amazing. And, you know, if you're having a conversation with a loved one, a partner, and the two of you are back and forth, you know, you say, can we just drop the, you know, intensity of the conversation a bit? Can we just be here with each other? We do love each other. We know that we will get to the other side of this conversation. We always do. So can we use that as a backdrop and just talk to each other? Because if we just talk to each other, usually we come out with something that works.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And by the way, that what's in the background that's preventing that is some conversation from the past that's based in survival or need to win, or, you know, not be made wrong or not be insufficient or whatever it is. So by just asking yourself to let go of the stress, you don't even need to know what that background conversation that's driving it is. You can let go. You can choose not to have that feeling. And there's freedom in that.
What changed or shifted for you throughout your education or experience? Because I'm not a psychologist, of course, or a psychiatrist, but from my general understanding, the kind of the formal training does put a lot of emphasis on, okay, we've got to unpack the past. And I've seen examples of this even in my own family it's like never ending. I mean, at what point do you move on versus, you know, being stuck in, okay, well, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old and so forth. Was there a point in your career where something shifted for you and you're like, I don't know, but like, there's gotta be a different way here.
Absolutely. And I think the training that I was in, I did something called the S training back in the 70s that sort of gave me a whole new opportunity to look at myself and reinvent myself. Oh, and wow. I'll give you one example. And I'll give you one example early on. This was probably 1981, 1982, when this occurred, is my firstborn, he was a year or two old. My father, who I had identified as very domineering and controlling in my life, wanted to have access to my son. And I was like, do I really want him ruining my son? You know, he ruined me. Well, you know. And I said, no, but, you know, I love him and he loves the kid. And so maybe I can shift my conversation. So I called a friend who understands, and I said, I got to shift the conversation around my father, because right now I can't give him access to my son. And I know that would be the thing I want going forward.
Okay.
And this person, she said, well, change the conversation. So I said, okay, so let's see. Instead of domineering and controlling, he's not of right mind. He's got problems. No, that won't work. Let me try another. I couldn't figure it out. So then I looked at my own son's, my relationship with my son, and I saw there wasn't a day in my life that I woke up to dominate and control in that relationship. And I said, well, what do I want? And I saw that what I really wanted was simply access and the opportunity to contribute to my son. And then it hit me that, wait a minute, dominate and control. That sounds a lot like access and contribute, just a little different from somebody else's perspective. So I realized I made a decision, or I chose that that's what my father was doing with me, and that's what he would do with my son. So I called my father and said, Dad, you no longer dominate and control me from my perspective. And we'd have some issues around that. I said, from this moment on, it's all about contribution. I know you just want to contribute. And you know what he said to me? He said, what drug are you on now?
Yeah, fair.
And I said, the love drug.
Yeah.
But so seriously.
How did that play out then?
We became best friends.
Oh, wow.
We recovered a friendship we had earlier in life. He became, you know, the most important person, other than my wife and child, in my life again. And it was nothing but love. There were days, I have to admit, that I'd say to my father, Dad, I've had enough contribution for today.
Okay. So do you think he actually, because I can see that playing out, like even in his initial comment, you know, you know what you were trying to do, and obviously, you know, have some training in that yeah. area. But like, how did he end up making the shift or the adjustment that you were hoping for that seemed like it played out? You know, was it just through continued conversation or just an openness to what you shared? Or
listen, at the bottom of everything, a parent's relationship with their child is based in love. A child's relationship with a parent, it's based in love. If you have a way of recovering that, if you take a stand, a declaration, a commitment to recover that, chances are the other person will respond accordingly. And he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's some truths, Mark, that you just can't get away from. You know?
Yeah.
I loved my parents, even though I was fighting with them and calling them names. And my father never gave up on his relationship with me. So it was, I wouldn't say easy, but it was, it certainly came back in a way that was beautiful.
Well, and thank you for sharing that. And such a beautiful example, because I guess, again, you could look at the flip side of what years and decades of going into the past and trying to like reprogram situations. And I mean, it's endless. You can't move forward from that approach, right? Like, I like to simply change the conversation.
By the way, some people will argue with you and say, oh, yes, you can. You go back and you find the source, and then you dip it back and then you release it and so forth and so on. And I'm willing to bet a lot that at the time it got released, there was a change in conversation. Mm-hmm. So it's a different technology for getting to the place where someone is capable of letting go of the past.
Yeah.
Okay. I call that actually readiness. It's the moment that willingness meets awareness. You're aware of what you want to do and you're willing to do it. And that's readiness. I mean, you look at people who have to go on diets because they have a health issue. There's readiness. There's an awareness of a health issue. And at that moment, there's a willingness to stop eating hamburgers at every meal or bread or whatever it is, you know, shift your diet.
Yeah. And I think like this is, I'd be curious. I want to ask you a little bit more about some of your other reflective practices. I know TM or the meditation practice has been a staple in your life, but a lot of it to me like revolves around understanding or journaling, whatever that looks like for you. What future do you want to live, or what life do you want to live? And first identifying that and not letting others around you in the society be the one that dictates that. Because then if you know what you want to, who you want to be or who you want to strive to become and do and so forth, then you can change the conversation to support that direction. Yeah. But I feel like most people don't stop and ask those questions because and I'm not saying that from a place of judgment. I just say that from noticing that people are going so fast and there's so much to do and that like they get stuck in the noise, right?
Yes. So I'm going to go back to what I said before about the, you know, forgetting or see, for the most part, when people go through journaling or writing stuff down, or telling themselves New Year's resolutions, all that, they're talking to themselves and they're talking to someone who doesn't actually believe they're going to make these changes. They're talking to a non-believer. I've tried this before. It doesn't work. But what else can I do? I'll write it down. Someone told me journaling. Every seminar I go to, every workshop, they say, get out a piece of paper, journal what your future is, what's your purpose, what's your why, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of that stuff is coming out of this past-based conversations. So it doesn't have the rigor to actually anchor you in a future that you can be pulled in by. So you have to have a future you can stand for, a commitment that you can stand for and pull yourself in on, or return to that conversation when you notice that you've drifted back. Because you will drift back. That's not an if, it's a when.
So how do we get clear then on that future so we can be pulled to the right?
Good question. And I would say that one of the best ways of doing it is to find someone who you respect and care for and love, and invite them into that conversation to help you identify that. Mm-hmm. See, it's useful because if you can sit with someone who can listen for your commitments, what are you committed to? And they can give you that feedback, and you're open enough to receive that feedback, they may be able to provide some anchors around, you know, it sounds to me like it's not so much the money you're going to make. You're really committed to lifestyle and being available to your family. That's what it sounds like to me. And then when the old conversation comes in, yeah, but they're not paying me enough. Now you've got this other really powerful conversation that you've invited speaking to you. And there's a good chance that you can listen differently now. Mm.
Last question for you, David. Is there something I should have asked you that I didn't?
I don't think there's something you should have asked that you didn't. But I guess there's something else I'd like to say.
Yes, please.
If you don't mind. There are a couple of words that come to mind that I really... I value, and I think they make a difference when people are trying to formulate a future, etc. One is to really move forward with as much integrity as possible, to actually try and get to your own core values, your own core beliefs. And that's different than I want and I shoulds. It's, you know, what's there for you? What, when you're in the flow, when you're in the zone, what are you up to? You know, for me, like I said, you know, I go to work, I wake up each day. What conversations am I going to have today that are going to make a difference, that are going to really impact people? I'm most self-expressed, most happy when I have the opportunity of sitting with someone and contributing to them. And I think that most people are either in a similar place. I mean, I think you are. I'm not trying to judge or evaluate you.
Sure.
But look what you've done. You've created this amazing platform to help people like myself share their wisdom or contribute to you. And by you doing that, you're not one-on-one-ing with me in a room that's blocked off. You're making it available to a larger audience. So I think that we just really want to contribute and make a difference. And I think people, I'd like others to understand that everybody has an opportunity to do that, whether it's to their children, to their parents, in a work situation, whatever. We all make a difference, and we just have to listen carefully to our own inner commitments and mm-hmm. go from there.
I love that. I mean, it's a great place to end. And I think of a couple of questions, right? Like what do I want to contribute or how can I contribute? And, you know, just maybe take a walk and spend some time with that reflection or that question. And I mean, I can't see any downside coming from taking some time with a question like that.
Yeah. One just footnote to what you just said. I like the what and how as opposed to why.
Yeah.
Why throws us back into the past. And exactly. You'll come up with something, but, you know, what do I want to contribute and how am I going to, how could I do that? There you go.
Well, here's to deciding which conversations we want to be having. I mean, I love that. I love that through line. I mean, I know it's your work, of course, but I love the through line to the conversation and the episode. Because it also feels empowering. You know, it's something like I can do now, right now, in the moment. And I mean, it takes obviously, you know, some practice and you need that self-awareness and there's ways to help foster that. But my point being is I don't have to go on a 7-day silent retreat or something to tap into this kind of work. You know, it's right here, right now.
Right here. And both of my books contain a lot of the what and how and examples of other people. So, you know, the first one was If I Can, You Can. And the second one, What's Next? If someone's interested, if they found this an interesting conversation and they want to dig in a little deeper, then both of those books will provide a lot more meat.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, David. Thank you for, of course, making time to come on this show. But thanks for your dedication over the last, you know, many decades to contributing. Is how I'll put it. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Mark. It's great.